Blog Talk Radio.
I'm doing beautiful, beautiful guy. How you doing?
Oh man, I'm blessed, man. Hey, I'm out here trying to do the best I can with getting better at these commerce, man. You know, trying to get everything in order, get everything, you know, secured. I'm just trying to do what's best in being a great business. How about yourself, man? What you got going?
Hey, I feel. That's what's up. Hey, I'm over here. I'm doing good on this side. Here enjoying the views as always. I'm not outside, but I can see outside. Getting to a good fortune, a lot of good prosperity, you know. And that's every day, bro. You know, that's what I get through every day. Every day I try to go through good fortune and good prosperity.
Right. Man, facts, sure. Yeah. It's crazy, man. I just received a notice. It was a notice, actually. You know what I'm saying? From the juvenile court system. I said, man, I got to go ahead and you know what I'm saying, apply myself more with learning how to do certain things when it comes to that aspect. Because, man, like we talked about, you know, a lot of us fail by acquiescing, you know. And so, man, I do my best by not, you know, I do my best that when I see something like a notice or something, man, I'm trying to go ahead and take care of it right then, man. So I don't have that problem just lingering around. You get what I'm saying? So, yeah, man.
Right.
You know, man, the devil has many tricks, man. Has many tricks. You know?
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. And the devil can be used by anybody. Anybody that allows the devil to use, you know? Yes, sir, man.
Yes, sir. I agree. So we on financial Friday.
Facts, man.
It's financial Friday. We talking about paying the corporate bill today.
Right.
Something we definitely got to get into for everybody, you know what I'm saying, using legal entities, because you definitely don't want you just don't want liability. We're all about protecting our assets, because asset separation is asset protection, you know, and we want to keep ourselves separated. But when it comes to paying the corporate veil, you can actually be held liable, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You are seen doing fraudulent actions and so forth.
Right.
Good. We got some stuff about the private chat. We could go straight into the private chat.
Okay.
We got some definitions up in there.
For sure, man. All right. Which one did you want to go over first?
We can go in order. We could just go to the peers first.
Okay, good.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. It says peers, and this one is a verb. It says see. 1300, C, 1200, as a surname, Pearson, make a hole in for and force one's way through and thrust through with or as with a sharp or pointed instrument. From Anglo-French, Pearson, Old French, Pearson, Pears, transfix, drive through, 12th century, modern French, piercer, probably from vulgar Latin, percutor, frequentator of Latin, percutor, past participle of partendere, to thrust or bore through, from per through, from pyru, per, forward, hence, through, tundere, to beat, pound, from pi, turn, from root, to push, strike, knock, beat, thrust, the obtuse, related, pairs, pairs. And we go. Let's go scroll down a little more to the other definition, all the way at the end of the page. Okay, so it says pairs is a verb. Cut or make a way through, move or affect a person, emotion, or bodily feeling, deeply or sharply, sound sharply or shrilly, penetrate or cut through with a sharp instrument, make a hole into. And it says pairs as a noun as a 14th president of the United States, 1804 to 1869. And I guess that was Franklin Pierce. So, what do you think about the word Pierce? You got it, God?
Yeah. My fault, God. I had it on mute. But yeah, like you say, to penetrate a cut through. So, I'm basically, I mean, when you think about something, it's something dealing with, when anything is dealing with pierce, you think about a hole, like a piercing in the ear. You know what I'm saying? So, so it's more to me, like you say, to make a hole into. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's what I would have, like, you know what I'm saying, the understanding or overstanding of it, if, you know, when dealing with that word, I would only think of, like, you know, a hole, something that you can pierce through, you know, something that
right.
You can put a hole into. Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Exactly. Verbatim.
Right.
Verbatim. So let's go ahead and go into the next definition inside the private chat.
Right. All right.
All right. And the other word is corporate, and it's an adjective, and it says early 15th century, united in one body, constituted as a legal corporation, as a number of individuals empowered to do business as an individual. In early use, often of municipalities, from Latin, corporator, past participle of corporere, make or fashion into a body, furnish with a body, also to make into a corpse, kill, from corporate, genitive corporis, body, from pyru, crude, body, form, appearance, the past participle corporator. Also was used as a noun meaning member of a corporation in reference to any body of person united in a community from the 1600 related corporately corporateness. Let's go all the way at the bottom. Let's look at the other definitions real quick. Corporate, adjective, of or belonging to a corporation, and possessing or existing in bodily form and was seen corporal, melted as breath into the wind, as Shakespeare. And it says corporate, adjective, done by or characteristic of individuals acting together. Also, you see anything, R?
No. I was listening to it. I was like, oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Great definition.
But, hey, for real. last one is corporate adjective organized and maintained as a legal corporation. So, as we can see with this word corporate, which is an adjective, it's a number of individuals empowered to do business as an individual. So it's a different amount of people doing business as one body. You know what I'm saying? It's different bodies of different people, right? Doing business as one corporation.
Yeah.
You know,
let me ask you this, just by thinking on what that definition breaks down. You know, the USA is a corporation, right? Or it's saying as a corporation, as an entity. So I'm wondering how, when they have things set up, we doing things, how we do things, we do it under the states, right? So, but we are saying as an individual. I'm just going over what you just, you know what I'm saying, kind of broke down. And I understand a little bit, but I'm trying to get a little more understanding of it. But like I was stating, the United States of America corporation, and then it breaks down all the other corporations.
Okay.
Wait,
so
go ahead.
Because, you know, they've been playing a little wordplay. So it's not necessarily the United States of America is the federal corporation. It's the United States.
Oh, okay.
Like the U.S.
Okay. The U.S.
So,
okay. See,
remember,
you know
the
what?
United States of America is the Republic side.
Right. Okay. I get it. So we doing business straight under the U.S.
Yeah, United
Corporation.
United.
Right.
Yeah, when you get with certain legal entities.
Right. So what happens then is we are staying as an individual, but we still are a branch under the U.S. Is that basically how that is? Like when you register LLC or corporation under their guidelines and through them, you are seen as an individual corporation, but you are still under the U.S. Is that right?
Yeah. All right. Well, I know you just said the same thing, guy, but say that one more time so I can get, like, clarity on the question real quick.
Okay. All right. You broke the difference from the U.S. and the USA. USA is a republic. But the U.S. is the side that does the business, is the corporation, right?
Correct.
And the breakdown of corporation, okay, so it stated that it was saying as an individual, done by or characteristics of individuals acting together. So whenever you register, let's say you register a business in Florida, right? Okay, it's still a part of the U.S., the corporation. You just merge your business with the U.S., you know what I'm saying, and you're doing business how they want us to do business, basically. That's if you're doing it on the domestic side.
Correct. And see, that's where it got to be, like, the real clear, because it's the international, or foreign side, and then there's this other side that is domestic. So if you're talking in the case of it being domestic, then completely yes, because it's under the United States, and domestic is, you know what I'm saying, like that could be controlled by them as well. So it's in their favor in a way.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
They're creating the entity. But if it's on international and foreign, it's not in their jurisdiction. So they don't have any authority over that foreign international entity.
Right.
Yeah, it's just like a little different, but Yeah. That's how it is. And the thing is, you see how they said an individual? A legal entity can't be an individual. So
right.
Even though they said individual, and when they use individual under the corporation standpoint of it, if you're in the U.S. and they say individual, you should know that's a legal entity, and you can't do commerce without a legal entity with them. So that has a number as well. EIN, SSN, a tax identification number. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
EIN,
right.
However they want to put it. You need numbers. You need identification numbers in order to do commerce inside the domestic world. Inside the international world, you don't necessarily, let me say it like this. You kind of do need it, but you kind of don't. Because me and you could do international commerce together solely based on contract.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So because contract law is private law, so we could definitely do contracts together, like privately and everything, and do commerce that way. But when you're talking about like doing commerce with other entities and stuff like that, definitely. I feel like they need a number, identification number.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir. All right. So let's go back. Okay, oh, yeah, so he's on corporate, the adjective.
Uh-huh.
And we just was talking about how it's a member of a corporation or a body. A body of different individuals forming one individual, which is a legal entity or a corporation. So let's go ahead and go into another definition we got in there. And this other definition is veil.
Uh-huh.
All right, veil, noun, C-1200. Nun's head covering, from Anglo-French and Old French veil, 12th century, modern French voile. A head covering, also a veil, a curtain, from Latin vela, plural of velum, veil, curtain, covering. From pi root, web, one, to weave. A web, vela, was mistaken in vulgar Latin for a feminine singular noun. To take the veil, become a nun, is attested from early 14th century. Veil, verb, late 14th century, from Old French veler, voiler, 12th century, from Latin veler, to cover veil, from velum, a cloth, covering curtain, veil, literally a veil, the veil, noun, figurative sense of to conceal, mask, discuss, something immaterial, is recorded from 1530s, related, veil, veiling. And we're going to scroll all the way down and get the other definitions. Veil, noun, a garment that covers the head and face, a membranous covering attached to the immature fruiting body of certain mushrooms, the inner membrane of embryos in higher vertebrates, especially when covering the head at birth, a vestment worn by a priest at high mass in the Roman Catholic Church, a silk shawl. It says, veil, verb, to obscure or conceal with or as if with a veil. Make undecipherable or is imperceptible by obscuring or concealing. That was the definition for veil. So as we see inside this section, on this definition, we're talking about a veil being a covering, whether it's a covering for a head, whether it's a covering, so like as a curtain or a sail,
right?
You know, to conceal. So
okay,
if you're doing a covering, you don't want somebody to see something. It's a curtain. It's a cover up, you know, and that's what we're doing with entities. An entity can be a cover up, depending on what entity you get as well. Because you can get a sole proprietorship, and the sole proprietorship doesn't necessarily cover you up. It covers you as an individual, but then it's easier to know who's the owner and all this other stuff. So it's not really covered really good. You know what I'm saying? Your cover degree is very low. Like, I can find out who owns a sole proprietorship very easily compared to someone who owns an LLC. So,
right.
The veil, and remember, what comes in the front of this word veil is corporate, which is an adjective, right? An adjective describes a noun. Yeah. So,
right.
Remember, we just talked about the corporate being a body of members, right? So,
right.
So the veil, so you're basically covering up the body of these members with a legal entity. So, all of these people who are in this body of corporations, running this corporation, to be one individual, right? To be one entity, is being protected as far as their privacy goes. But
right,
not only their privacy, but in a corporate world or a corporate standpoint, their liabilities, you know what I'm saying? Their assets are getting protected. And remember, asset protection is asset separation. So they are completely, even though they are inside of this business, they are completely separate from their business. And that's what an LLC does,
right?
A limited liability corporation or limited liability company separate itself from the owner. It distinguishes itself from its owner. And it's
okay.
And the thing is, it's different kinds of LLCs as well. Like, your LLC could be seen as a sole proprietorship.
Right.
Your LLC could be seen as an S-corp. It's
right.
It's like different other levels of it. But it just depends on what do you feel has the like concrete veil. A concrete veil. You don't just want your veil to be like a curtain, but you want it to be like concrete.
Right.
You want them to can't even, you know what I'm saying, just slide a curtain across. A concrete is harder to slide across, so you want to just make sure the foundation is pretty good. And it's a lot
right.
of different ways to make sure everything is concrete. Don't do fraudulent stuff, activities. Don't mix your bank account, your personal bank account with your business. You know what I'm saying? Don't spend
right.
your money that
right.
way, because it makes it look like you're having this business just to take care of you. And
exactly.
that's not what the business is for. It's to help the economy and, yeah, pretty much help people in the economy. Help the economy
right.
first, to be honest. All right. Where we at? Okay,
still on
so we are in veil. Yeah, that was the ending for a veil. You got anything to touch upon or not?
Nah, man. I think you did an excellent job. I think you did like an excellent job with how you just broke that down, and just me understanding the words itself. I'm prepared for now the whole word. It, you know, what you are putting together. You know what I'm saying? I love how you broke that down. Now, God, I don't have any questions or nothing to add on to it, man. I think you did a great job.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. Highly. All right, so we're getting up to the 30-minute mark right now, half an hour. We're going to take a short break, maybe a 4-minute break, and we're just going to come right back.
All right, peace to the God.
All right, peace to the God.
You're still taking what's not yours. Greedy though you got more. Switching on me now, snitching on me now. Picking up dirty attitudes, what's your future then? I'm not sure. Now you lurk on every corner, trying to make a dollar from them quarters. Thought you were my friend, giving helping hand. Proved to be my enemy, I can't even trust anyone. I've got to take myself away from all these things that's hurting me. I've got to make my life so free. Seems you downward, nothing good for real. I've got to take myself away from all these things that's hurting me. I've got to make my life so free. Seems you downward, nothing good for real. I waste no time on you, not behaving yourself up in a crime on you. Now there's a fine in you. Now tell me what you're gonna do. Things I do, I just can't believe. Seems you don't know what you really need. Take it, remember life carries its own feet. I was there to motivate you. Seems you don't appreciate it. What is it that generates you to do the bad things I do? I really hate it. I've got to take myself away from all these things that's hurting me. I've got to make my life so free. Seems you good for real. I've got to take myself away from all these things that's hurting me. I've got to make my life so free. Since you don't want me ever said good for real. The world is getting dangerous. Sickness and disease are very contagious. All these bad things happening just ain't for us. God help us out, can you pray for us?
I've got to protect my life. And respect, that's what you should be giving me. When you hate each other, you don't know what you're doing to me. If I allow this corruption, it's only ruining me. I've got to take myself away from all these things that's hurting me. I've got to make my life so free.
Seems you don't want nothing good for real.
I've got to take myself away from all these things that's hurting me. I've got to make my life so free.
Seems you don't want nothing good for real.
I was there to motivate you. Seems you don't appreciate it. What is it that generates you to do the bad things you do? I really hate it. I've got to take myself away from all these things that's hurting me. I've got to make my life so free.
Seems you don't want nothing good for real.
I've got to take myself away from all these things that's hurting me. I've got to make my life so free.
Seems you don't want nothing good for real.
I've got to take myself away from all these things that's hurting me. I've got to make my life so free.
Seems you don't want nothing good for real.
Peace, peace. Peace, peace to the gods.
Peace.
Yeah, God, you know. Man, yeah, we just went over those three words, man, and it was interesting. I'm ready to actually dive deep into, you know what I'm saying, the outcome of what you're actually breaking down, because it sounds so interesting to me. You know what I'm saying? It's like music to my ears right now.
Hey, for sure. For sure. Hey, we always trying to find different ways to do our asset separation. You know?
Right.
Because that's our real protection. So we want to make sure we protect it, man. Like, before you even do, like, get into the commercial world or doing commerce,
mm-hmm.
you want to protect yourself at all times. You know what I'm saying? Prevention. That's all this thing is, prevention tactics and prevention strategies, man.
Right.
If you do these asset protection strategies when you go into the commerce world, it's like, even if your entity or your vessel do sink, you know what I'm saying? At least it don't necessarily sink, you know what I'm saying? And what I mean by it don't actually sink is, like, you can take, like, a boat, like, say you got a ship or a vessel, right? Let's just use that as your legal entity. If you do take a couple of little audits on, because you knew, you know what I'm saying? Everybody be new to the commercial world and everything. If the mm-hmm. boat does get a few holes, it can at least make it back to shore. You want it to be able to make it back to shore.
Right.
And not let nobody see who it actually is, or even if it do actually completely sink, you can
uh-huh.
abandon the ship. You can leave the you can abandon the ship, leave it, and still not be held liable for it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't have any of these protections and your ship does sink, guess what? You can't abandon ship. You sink with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You sink with it. You are held liable, and you cannot abandon it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Why? Because it's going to be seen as attached to you. You and this ship or vessel is going to be united and merged into one and be seen and not distinguished from each other. You're going to be seen as property. It is what it is.
Facts. 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 Yeah, man.
All right. So we can go ahead and go inside the private chat again. And for those who just came in, this is Financial Fridays. And we just went over three definitions: pair, corporate, and veil. And on today's shows, we're talking about pairs in the corporate veil. So let's click the first link. Well, this is the fourth link, actually. Pairs
in
the corporate veil. And this is on Cornell Law School. And it says, pairs in the corporate veil. Overview. Pairs in the corporate veil refers to a situation in which courts put aside limited liability and hold a corporation, shareholders, or directors personally liable for the corporation action or death. Veil pairsing is most common in close corporations. All right, so before we even go any further into this,
uh-huh.
it says pairsing the corporate veil refers to a situation in which courts put aside limited liability. Let's go ahead and let's see what limited liability is, right?
All right.
Click limited liability, definition, an important characteristic of corporation and other business organization like the limited and NBSP and limited company, LLC, is that an investor liability is limited to the extent of their investment. That is, if the company loses a lawsuit or has other debt, the judgment is against the company and not its owners or shareholders. If the judgment or debt makes the company go bankrupt, the shareholders would lose the value of their shares. But because of the concept of limited liability, the judgment is not enforceable against the shareholders' other assets. So the shareholders' other assets is they might lose their shares inside this liability, but the shareholders have other assets which is not going to get like tampered with because it's limited liability. And it says
right.
one exception to limited liability is piercing the corporate veil. Man, one exception to limited liability is piercing the corporate veil.
Right.
So let's go ahead and go back. That was pretty self-explanatory.
Right.
All right. And they say, let me just reread what I just read. Piercing the corporate veil refers to a situation in which courts put aside limited liability, which we just searched that up, and hold a corporation, shareholder, or directors personally liable for the corporation action or death. So if they do a piercing the corporate veil, now the shareholders or directors are personally liable for the corporation actions or the death. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
If they press the corporate veil, then the business doesn't owe the money. The LLC or whatever doesn't own the money. You do. As a
right.
shareholder or director or a business owner. Let's see what shareholders is. So like, let's see the definition of shareholders.
Okay.
And it says shareholder, a person who owns stock in a corporation.
Uh-huh.
All right, so it's just a stock owner. You know, they own stocks inside the corporation. So they don't necessarily got to be a manager. They just got to be pretty much like a person that owns stock inside of the business.
Right.
All right. So, and it also says or directors. Let's go ahead and let's see what a director is. Because the director doesn't sound like the shareholders necessarily, because it says
right.
or and it doesn't say and. So let's see what director is. Director, definition. In a corporation, a director is a person appointed or elected by the shareholders to sit on the board of directors. Directors have authority to implement corporate policy and act by voting to pass board resolutions. Directors act as agents and trustees for the corporation and have the duty to act with care, loyalty, and goodwill in all acts done on behalf of the corporation. So the director pretty much is like a trustee for the corporation,
right.
though.
Right.
So,
right.
yeah. And let's go ahead because I'm kind of intrigued now. So let's go ahead
right.
and go to the board of directors. So
okay.
we click board of directors, and it says in a corporation, the board of directors is a group of people selected by the shareholders who make the major decisions for the company. The exact responsibilities of the board are governed by the company's articles of incorporation, but in general, the board is responsible for choosing the corporate officers, selling shares of the company, distributing dividends, and responding to merger and takeover offers. The board has a fiduciary duty to act in the best interest of the shareholders. So how I look at it is the shareholders is the real owners, you know what I'm saying? Or I would say the grantor.
Okay.
And I would think that they actually the shareholders are like the beneficiary in this standpoint too, because it's for the benefit of the shareholder. You know what I'm saying? The board of directors, in the best, in a sense, the board has a fiduciary duty, which trustees have a fiduciary duty to act in the best interest of the shareholder. The best interest for the benefit, that's what I'm getting, is for the shareholders. Mm-hmm. So the shareholders are the beneficiaries as well. So, yeah, that's what I'm getting
okay.
from this. So let's go ahead and go back, though. Let's go back. Go back to where we came from. So we're on the pairs in the corporate veil. All right, we get who the corporate, the shareholders or directors are. And we don't want them to be personally liable. When it says personally liable for the corporation action or death. All right. And it says veil piercing is most common in closed corporation. And veil piercing is most common in closed corporations. What is closed corporation?
Because
this is where veil piercing is common. This
right.
is commonly where it happens. So closed corporation overview. A closed corporation is a corporation which does not exceed a statutorily defined number of shareholders and is not a public corporation. This number depends on the state's business laws, but the number is usually 35 shareholders. And it says benefit of a closed corporation. The main benefit of a closed corporation is that it will be exempt from a number of the formal rules which usually govern corporations. The specifics vary by state, but usually a closed corporation must not be publicly traded and must have fewer than a set number of shareholders, usually 35 or so. A closed corporation can generally be run directly by the shareholders without a formal board of directors and without a formal annual meeting. A closed corporation is also commonly referred to as a closely held corporation. Liability. A closed corporation allows the shareholders to act as would a general partnership in day-to-day operations. However, if the shareholders step in to run the company, they retain limited liability as shareholders. So the shareholders would actually have limited liability if they hop in and be the trustees, or they take the fiduciary power to go ahead and control this business. If they control the business without a board, they are taking and retaining limited liability. But take on the fiduciary duties of directors. As such, these shareholders may be liable for failing to fulfill their fiduciary duties. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And that's where the closed corporation, that's where you normally see the corporate veil getting pierced, the piercing of the corporate veil. And it says, let's continue. It says, while the law varies by state, generally courts have a strong, courts have a strong presumption against Pierce in the corporate bill and will only do so if there has been serious misconduct. So courts don't necessarily want to do the process of Pierce in the corporate bill. That's not their option. But if they see a serious misconduct, they have, it's like you're forcing their hands to do this now.
Right.
So it has to be a serious misconduct. And it also says courts understand the benefit of limited liabilities as it encourages development of public markets for stocks and therefore helps make possible the liquidity and diversification benefits that investors receive from those markets. As such, courts typically require corporations to engage in fairly egregious. Oh, what the heck is that word? Okay. You got it?
No. I can't pronounce it myself.
It's a egregious, and that just means like shocking or outstandingly bad.
Right.
Action in order to justify piercing the corporate veil. So, yeah, you basically have to be, courts typically require corporations to engage in, shocking bad action in order to justify piercing the veil. So you have to do bad, like they said, serious misconduct. You know what I'm saying? You're not conducting business really good. You're doing bad business. In general, this misconduct may include abusing the corporation. Example, intermingling of personal and corporate assets or having undercapitalization at the time of incorporation. All right. So, all right, we already know intermingling of personal and corporate assets. That means you pretty much mixed in your assets, personal assets, with your business assets, it's a no-no. It's a misconduct. And it says, or having undercapitalization at the time of incorporation. What does undercapitalization actually mean? All right, we go ahead and click undercapitalization. And it says, what is undercapitalization? Undercapitalization occurs when a company does not have sufficient capital to conduct normal business operations and pay creditors. This can occur when the company is not generating enough cash flow or is unable to access forms of financing such as debt or equity. Undercapitalized companies also tend to choose high-cost sources of capital, such as short-term credit, over lower-cost forms, such as equity or long-term debt. Investors want to proceed with caution if a company is undercapitalized because the chance of bankruptcy increases when a company loses the ability to service its debt. All right, so undercapitalization, pretty much meaning that when you start your business, right? Because they say from the incorporation standpoint, from when you incorporate the business, you are undercapitalized. And a lot of businesses don't start off with an overcapitalization, you know what I'm saying, to have the business to do certain things. But you don't – all right, if you know you're starting off with zero in the business, let's just say you're starting off from scratch with the business. Do not go there and just acquire all of these different loans, right?
Right.
And guess what? Over the month, like let's say that same month that you acquired a $10,000 loan. I'm just using $10,000, for example. You acquired $10,000 in loan this first month. What did you do with the loan?
Right.
You got the loan, right, which is capitalization. Now let's see what you're going to do with this loan. Let's go ahead and say that loan just decreases. Let's say you got the loan, but the only thing you're doing is spending the loan, and you're not seeing a profit from that loan. The loan is not, like, now let's say you hop from $10,000, and at the end of the month, you're all the way down to $5,000. Okay, let's say the second month comes through. That's 60 days now. 60 days, you had $10,000. Well, not $10,000 at the 60-day mark, but at the 30-day mark, you had $5,000. Now, let's say another 30 days come, which is a 60 days. Now, you only have $1,000.
Right.
So, how do you think that looks? That's like a misconduct. Obviously, either you don't know how to do business, or you're doing something fraudulent. You're just having that money and spending it on something, and that's how they're going to look at it. You're spending this money on expenses that's not bringing money back into the business. It's the whole thing about commerce and doing business is that you want to see profit. You know what I'm saying? The money that you invest is to grow the business, not just to take out of the business. And that's how you look when you're under capitalization, and you continue to go through it because you're looked at as a risk. Sooner or later, you're going to do bankrupt. You're a higher risk at doing a bankruptcy because you don't know how to manage money and do all this other stuff. But
right.
Let's go back. In general, this misconduct may include abusing the corporation, example, intermingling of personal and corporate assets, or having undercapitalization at the time of incorporation. Like I said, it's a way you can move, because let's say you don't have the money, right? Let's go back to that again. You don't have the money.
Right,
but you do get the loans this time. You do get the same ten thousand, but with that $10,000, that first month, let's say you did lose $5,000 from the business, but it was a business investment. It was a business expense, right? At the end of the year, with business expenses, you can do deduction. So your business is going to get reimbursed because it was trying to help your business grow. Not only that, the expense that you did use, let's say another 30 days come, which is a 60-day mark again, and you went up $5,000. Now you up to $1,500, right? The same $5,000 you invested, you got $5,000 within that other 30 days, additional 30 days, which would make it 60 days, and now you got $15,000. So was that investment worth it? Yeah.
Right.
The investment was worth it. And now you can just keep doing that and keep building capital. You know what I'm saying? You can keep going up and keep going up. Keep playing with it. Then also paying your minimums on the loans, paying back the creditors, showing them that, hey, you're going to get your investment money back. Because you're investing into my company and you're investing into the business, and we're going to make sure that you get your money back. You want lenders to keep lending to you when you do pay off your loans, or they do even see you paying your minimums like this, and they're seeing that you're making money, like it's just growing and growing. The business is continuously growing. They will actually offer you more money. So
right,
that's proper conduct.
Right. All right,
now let's go to where it says creditors. Creditors, in general, creditors have no recourse against corporate shareholders as long as formalities are satisfied. When, however, the corporation is fraudulently created to escape liability, then creditors may pierce the corporate veil. We know who creditors are. Creditors are lenders. So,
right.
You know, they can pierce a corporate veil if, like in the scenario, the first scenario, they see that it's no returns on the loans that they gave you. Like, what are you doing with the loans? Dude, like, what are you doing with the money that we loan to you? Oh, I see. Like, and you can't play nobody but yourself, because they're looking,
right.
Like me, I'm on a basic creditor level. Now, if you're talking about creditors who've been in the game 15 plus years, come on, it's real easy for them to spot out that you're spending money on yourself and you're spending money recklessly. How you get $10,000 when you was working a job, right?
Uh-huh.
And the job wasn't even paying you $5,000 a month.
Right.
So how do you lose $10,000 in 60 days? Oh,
right.
Oh no, you balling, you cashing out, you having fun.
Exactly.
So you having fun, not the business. The business ain't doing business.
Exactly.
You just having fun. So that's how they look at that, man. And it's real easy to see that. But anyway, yes, sir. It says, in general, creditors have no recourse against corporate shareholders as long as formalities are satisfied. When, however, the corporation is fraudulently created to escape liability, then creditors may pierce the corporate veil. How states' law differ? Laws regarding the piercing of the corporate veil vary from state to state, as demonstrated below. In Florida, one must typically show two things in order to pierce the corporate veil. Number one, that the relevant corporation is only the alter ego or mere instrumentality of the parent corporation or its shareholders, right? So, what is an alter ego? An alter ego is a DBA. You know what I'm saying? It could be a DBA. You know what I'm saying? Because why? Say you're the shareholder or the owner. Let's just say you're the owner. Or, well, let's use it like this. It says shareholder. Let's use the shareholder. I would say the owner, but let's use the shareholder. You're the shareholder of this corporation, and you being the shareholder of this corporation, you show this thing called an alter ego. So let's say you name the corporation your name, right? Same name as the shareholder. You're already showing a sign of alter ego because it has the same name as you. Not only that it has the same name as you, now you're doing what we did in example one. The $10,000 is gone within the 2 months. You're not doing business. So that shows an alter ego. You know what I'm saying? Oh, he's just doing business like this to get cars in his name to make it look like his business is him. To make it, you know what I'm saying? So that's an alter ego. It's a business in the system, but it has your name, and you're doing business with, you know what I'm saying, your name, and it's showing sign of an alter ego. On top of that, you're doing misconduct with the business because, like, your name, like, what kind of business is your name actually doing? Is it real estate? Is it, you know what I'm saying? Like, what type of business? It doesn't have any business. Because you're co-mingling it or intermingling it because you're spending the money on fun. You're saying that this is me, and guess what? Since it's my name, I'm spending it on everyday stuff that I do. No, you don't do that. But anyway, and it says, number two, that shareholders... No, it says that the alleged parent company or shareholders also engaged in improper conduct, which that was literally the second part of what I was just explaining. So the first thing was the alter ego. The alter ego is basically the DBA or the you doing business in your name as a shareholder. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you're the shareholder, and the business is your name. Literally,
right.
They look into it and they see that, okay, the business owner and the business has the same name. That's an alter ego. Boom, that's one. In Florida, that's one. Number two, misconduct. Improper conduct. Oh, so this dude want to get it inside his name and he want to go have fun with it. He just spent $10,000 in 2 months just on personal, you know what I'm saying, liabilities. Nah, we gotta pay this corporate veil because this dude, he just carrying on reckless with the business. Yes, and his name too. That's an alter ego. That's all the evidence I need. And this is in Florida, one must typically show two things in order to pay the corporate veil. So if you avoid those two things, you kind of good.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You kind of good.
Wonder why they ain't got nothing for Tennessee, but I guess we all follow the same guidelines.
Yeah, everybody would be like, kind of the same. And then it says, like, in Nevada, all right, so in Nevada, it's kind of different. So in Nevada, it uses a three-part test to determine whether a court may pierce the corporate veil. And it says, I'm going to go straight quick over these ones. It says, number one, the corporation must be influenced and governed by the person or person asserted to be its alter ego. Number two, there must be such unity of interest and ownership that one is inseparable from the other. Number three, the facts must be such that adherence to the fiction of separate entities would, under the circumstances, sanction a fraud or promote injustice. All right, and they got some cases around there. I feel like we should go over this. Like, that's like a more like a private. Yeah, that's more like a reading in the private. So you can go ahead. We can let the listeners listen to that because that's like time consuming right there.
Right.
But what do you think so far about that, God? Like,
hey man,
what's your comment?
I understood it. I understood exactly what you know what I'm saying. The whole understanding of the word means, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, do proper business and you won't have to worry about your corporation being pierced. And so, man, you broke that down in an excellent, excellent way, God. No lie. So, man, it's self-explanatory, man. You gave all of the definitions and, you know, you want to be able to get out here. And this is one of the reasons why me and Kalam are actually going over and having these type of, words that we are using so that you can get more familiarized with it, man. And by you bringing this up today, it was kind of new to me, but I've heard it before, you know, and I'm glad we actually took the time out to actually go into the words itself and get a great understanding of what it actually means. So, going over it, it kind of helped me to understand how to better do business with the commerce that I'm doing as well, you know, like to better be, you know, I think you should actually understand these definitions before you actually get into business. Or even if you are into business now, just govern yourself in a way that accordingly to what these laws are telling you how to do things, you know. But man, piercing the corporate veil, man, that's very interesting. I think that man, you did excellent with the breakdown of it. But yeah man, I understood that. real well.
All right, for sure, for sure. That's, hey, that's good. That's what you both, you know, agreement, understanding, overstanding, trying to get a simple, like, because all of these things are, like, simple, like, once you know about it, but if you don't, like, go into it and you don't know about it, it's, like, you can't avoid something, like, it's about, like, you can't avoid something you don't know about, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't know not to avoid this, you would just do it, and that's what majority of people are doing right now, like, because they don't know about it. They go ahead and they do it. Like, it's just ignorance. And ignorance meaning not knowing. That's simple, and I get it. I get it 100%. No doubt about it, but ignorance of the law is no excuse. So it's like, if you're doing commerce or if you're doing business, come on, brother. You got to learn about it. It's no way around it. Anything that you're doing, you got to learn about it. Anything. But I know yet at that time, I got a little extra time on the clock, bro. So I know you're welcome to leave. I already know that, you know, you have a full day of commerce. I have today too, but I actually do have time to go a little more into this, and I do want to go a little more into this to get more clarity, not only for us, but, you know, for other people as well, and for the archive purposes. So when people go into this, they can dissect this as much as possible. Like that first section of the show we just now did, because that's like the first section. Like that was that was like point on. Like, it was like right there on point, but
yeah,
it's like it's more to it,
right?
So, for this second section of the show,
starting
about now,
I have to cut you off.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna be on mute. I'm actually handling some more business. Somebody just walked in, but I'm gonna still be online. I can still hear you.
Right.
I'm gonna have my headset in.
All right, for sure. Yeah, God, that's cool. That's cool. I'm going to just go on to it then.
Yes, sir. I bet.
All right, peace. All right, you know, we got somebody had is the... So I'm going to mute them.
Is that so?
Okay, so I guess they on the line. All right. So we're gonna go back into the private chat. And when we go into the private chat, I'm gonna pull up Prison the Corporate Veil again. So now we're gonna dissect it even more. You know? We got some time today. And it says, and this one is a Wikipedia version. The other one we went into was the Cornell Law. Or Law Cornell. And it says, piercing the corporate veil. Piercing the corporate veil or lifting the corporate veil is a legal decision to treat the rights or duties of a corporation as the rights or liabilities of its shareholders. Usually, a corporation is treated as a separate legal person, which is solely responsible for the debts it incurs and the sole beneficiary of the credit it is owed. Common law countries usually uphold this principle of separate personhood, but in exceptional situations may pierce or lift the corporate veil. A simple example would be where a businessman has left his job as a director and has signed a contract to not compete with the company he has just left for a period of time. If he sets up a company which competed with his former company, technically, it would be the company and not the person competing. But it is likely a court would say that the new company was just a sham or a cover, and that as the new company is completely owned and controlled by one person, that the former employee is deliberately choosing to compete and so is in breach of that non-competing contract. All right, so for that section, they're saying that basically, all right, say a businessman left his job, all right, left your job, but you said, well, the businessman says, you know what, let me leave this job because I can do the same thing that I'm doing here, you know? And then when they go and they open up another business, right, it's supposed to be like the legal entities is separate from the owner, but at the same time, he was in the same, like, it's a thing called, like, trading secrets. Look in the trading secrets. And he already signed a contract, right? So he could be utilizing trading secrets that he already learned from within his business, his other business, right? His former business, which he worked for someone. He worked for a corporation. So he knows these trading secrets, and he implements these secrets that he knows into his business. Now that's like a breach of that is a breach of contract. You know what I'm saying? And they can actually pierce the corporate veil because, you know, you're doing the same line of work that you was doing previously for someone else, and since you're doing the same line of work and you have the trading secret, right? They're seeing you as a competitor. You're in the same field, the exact same field. You're competing against the very person who trained you, who showed you the trading secrets, and you're making a separate entity to do the exact same thing. It's a competitor. So they can pierce the corporate veil because now you're in breach of contract. You already signed contracts. But it says, despite the terminology used, which makes it appear as though a shareholder's limited liability emanates from the view that a corporation is a separate legal entity, the reality is that the entity status of corporation has almost nothing to do with shareholder limited liability. For example, English law conferred entity status on corporations long before shareholders were afforded limited liability. Similarly, the United States Revised Uniform Partnership Act confers entity status on partnerships, but also provides that partners are individually liable for all partnership obligations. Therefore, this shareholder limited liability emanates mainly from statute. Right? Okay. Let's see. And it says, basis for limited liability. Corporations exist in part to shield the person assets of shareholders. Well, no, it says corporations exist in part to shield the personal assets of shareholders from personal liability for the debts or actions of a corporation, unlike a general partnership or sole proprietorship, in which the owner could be held responsible for all the debts of the company, like we talked about, the sole proprietorship. A corporation traditionally limited the personal liability of the shareholders. Piercing the corporate veil typically is most effective with smaller, privately held business entities, closed corporation, in which the corporation has a small number of shareholders, limited assets, and recognition of separateness of the corporation from its shareholder would promote fraud or inequitable results. So this president of Vail mostly happens with closed corporations, like we talked about earlier. And if the members are under like a certain amount of shareholders, right? So if it's a small amount of shareholders, they would think that you're doing business within yourself. And if it's a private corporation, they're gonna be watching you close. On top of that, if you're doing the misconduct of spending the money not for business purposes or on business expenses, then you're vulnerable to this corporate pairs, for the corporate veil to be pairs. And it says, pairs on the corporate veil typically, okay, we already read that one. Yep, you already read that one. There is no record of a successful pairing of the corporate veil for a publicly traded corporation because of the large number of shareholders and the extensive mandatory filing entailed in qualifying for a listing on an exchange. All right. So let's go down. We're going to open up the United States tab, right? It says in the United States, corporate veil piercing is the most litigated issue in corporate law. So in corporate law, the most litigated issue is corporate veil piercing. So this is the most. This is not the second. This is not the third, but the most litigated issue in corporate law. And it says, although courts are reluctant to hold an active shareholder liable for actions that are legally the responsibility of the corporation, even if the corporation has a single shareholder, they will often do so if the corporation was markedly non-compliant with corporate formalities to prevent fraud or to achieve equity in certain cases of undercapitalization. We talked about undercapitalization as well. In most jurisdictions, no bright line rule exists, and the ruling is based on common law procedures. In the United States, different theories, most important alter ego or instrumentality rule, attempted to create a pairing standard. Mostly, they rest upon three basic prongs, namely, one, unity of interest and ownership, the separate personalities of the shareholders and corporation cease to exist. Number two, wrongfully conduct, wrongful action taken by the corporation. And number three, proximate cause, as it was a reasonable, foreseeable result of the wrongful action harm was caused to the party that is seeking to pierce the corporate veil. Normally the creditor, of course, that's who that is. You know, that's who don't want to pierce the trust, mostly because you're getting the money from them and they want their money back. It is what it is. There is also the matter of what jurisdiction the corporation is incorporated in, if the corporation is authorized to do business in more than one state. All corporations have one specific state, their home state, to which they are incorporated as a domestic corporation, and if they operate in other states, they would apply for authority to do business in those other states as a foreign corporation. So if they do business inside their home state, it's a domestic corporation. If they do business in another state, in other state other than where it incorporated, it is seen as a foreign corporation, right? In determining whether or not the corporate veil may be pierced, the courts are required to use the laws of the corporation's home state. This issue can be significant. For example, California law is more liberal in allowing a corporate veil to be pierced, while the laws of neighboring Nevada make doing so more difficult. Therefore, the owners of a corporation operating in California would be subject to different potential for the corporation's veil to be pierced if the corporation was to be sued, depending on whether the corporation was a California domestic corporation or was a Nevada foreign corporation operating in California. Generally, the plaintiff has to prove that the incorporation was merely an formality and that the corporation neglected corporate formalities and protocols such as voting to approve major corporate actions in the context of a duly authorized corporate meeting. So, we got that part. So, we're going to go into a short break, and we will be right back. Peace to God.
Princess right away, tell her to be fine, I don't want her to stray. Words of the vine to the Empress right away, tell her to be mine, I don't want her to stray. Knowing your poor son, who knows your more son, joyful will I be in your eyes. Put away pollution, sabbatical and strong, royalty belongs to my side. Let us care for the younger ones, the children is a ton. Nature grows and prove you qualify to know and overstand. No segregation, that is not the words of the wise. Words of the vine to the princess right away, tell her to be fine, never go astray. Put your last in front of mine, never go astray. Confuse not your heart with the turmoil in life. Oh, woman of the heightened stripe, that's what I behold in my sight. You're not first stop, hail King Celestial. Oh, and family your fright, press along with fight. Take this to our gate with love before the falling of the night. These words of the vine to the Empress right away, tell her to be fine and never go astray. Words of the vine to my princess right away, tell her to be fine, I'll be there on that day. About I hear the sound from the mouth, defiling all the stock upon the shelf. I've been the least
Yet but on the east, I can only give a proof of myself. Me fit a no for man weak. Mankind uno no seat. No hurt if you come help. You all are uno fi come from the east. Rise with the wheat, the corn done. I'm the black man, well take it. Words of the vine to the empress right away. Tell her to be fine, I don't want her to stray.
All right, peace of God, I'm back on here. But we just read a few things, right? So we just read that a domestic corporation is wherever it's in their home state. All corporations that are in their home state, right, and operates inside their home state, is seen as a domestic corporation. But you can have, basically, you can have a, you can incorporate a business inside of Florida and do business, right, inside Tennessee. And it will be seen as a foreign corporation, right? Pretty much. And they also were saying that to make it more difficult to pierce the corporate veil, what strategies you can actually use is, yeah, you can incorporate into a place like Nevada where it makes it, where it makes piercing the corporate veil difficult, you know, and do business in California. So now they're going off of your, in order for them to pierce your corporate veil, they have to go off your home state or the business home state corporate veil piercing procedure, pretty much. Now let's just reread that over again so you can see what I'm saying. This issue can be significant. And for example, California law is more liberal in allowing a corporate veil to be pierced, while the laws of neighboring Nevada make doing so more difficult. Therefore, the owners of a corporation operating in California would be subject to different potential for the corporation's veil to be pierced if the corporation was to be sued, depending on whether the corporation was a California domestic corporation or was a Nevada foreign corporation operating in California. See? And it says, generally, the plaintiff has to prove that the incorporation was merely a formality and that the corporation neglected corporate formalities and protocols, such as voting to approve major corporate action. In the context of a duly authorized corporate meeting, this is quite often the case when a corporation facing legal liability transfers its assets and business to another corporation with the same management and shareholders. It also happens with single person corporations that are managed in a haphazard manner. And let's see what haphazard is. And it says random, lacking at any obvious principle of organization. As such, the veil can be pierced in both civil cases and where regulatory proceedings are taken against a shell corporation. So what I got from this paragraph right here was that it was talking about how a plaintiff can prove that a corporation is neglecting corporate formalities and protocols. And and how like legal liabilities, right? Like a corporation is transferring its like legal. See, I'm trying to put it in a good way. You know what I'm saying? So, cause I get it, but I gotta put it in words now. So, for instance, let's just do it for example. I like to do scenarios because scenarios make me break down things easier. So, if you're in a business and you're the shareholder of the business, y'all have a board of directors and everything. And in this business, the shareholders know that they're doing something fraudulent and they're not doing corporate formalities. And let's say that this same shareholders, right, and managers or whatever, or let's say shareholders and managers, are in another business, another corporate entity or legal entity. And they transfer assets. Let's say, let's use a car, for instance. Say, let's use names too. House LLC, well, not House LLC, because we're talking about cars. Let's make it easy. Car LLC is transferring assets listed, which is the car, to cars, not even cars, Automobile LLC. So Cars LLC is transferring the business assets of Cars LLC directly to Automobile LLC. And so happily, they have the same shareholders in there, right? Along with the same managers. So it's just seen as an alter ego again, in a way. Why? Because they're looking at it as you're trying to move assets to another spot. Like you're trying to spread out your business assets to yourself again, literally. You know what I'm saying? You're moving one asset from yourself, which is Cars LLC, which is ran by you all. You are the shareholder, to another one, another LLC, a separate entity, which is still ran by you. So even though they are separate entities, they are still seen, you're still seen as the shareholders in there. You know what I'm saying? Under the veil. On outside of the veil, on the surface, yeah, it's different legal entities, but underneath the veil, you're doing some secretive stuff. You know what I'm saying? You're doing some asset transfer for yourself, and that's not what legal entities are for. And for that reason, they can pierce your corporate veil, especially if they got like evidence. Of course, they need proof and evidence in order to get inside and pierce the corporate veil. But we can go ahead and finish reading. And it says, factors for courts to consider. Factors that a court may consider when determining whether or not to pierce the corporate veil include the following: absence or inaccuracy of corporate records. Absence or inaccuracy of corporate records. So you got to keep corporate records, man. Keep your documentations of all corporate transactions. Record keeping documents, definitely something we got to go over on another show of Financial Fridays, because that's important. Because once, if you're being audited or if you're being in a situation where someone does want to pierce the corporate veil, instead of them piercing the corporate veil, at least you have this evidence to be like, well, this is where all the money went. This is all the expenses. This is all the documentation. And this is my proof showing you exactly verbatim where everything went. And it says conceal, number two, concealment or misrepresentation of members. All right, so concealment or misrepresentation of members. So first of all, concealment. Concealment just meaning you're hiding the who the members are. You know what I'm saying? Or misrepresentation. Misrepresentation meaning that the person isn't who they say they are, pretty much. You're saying that this person is this member, but they're really not. It's just a misrepresentation of the members. Number three, failure to maintain arm's length relationship with related entities. Like we said with the other one, you're the shareholder, right, of the Cars LLC. And you're also the shareholder of the Automobile LLC. And you're trying to transfer properties. That's not maintaining arm's length relationship. That's like direct relationship with other entities or with related entities. And it says, failure to observe corporate formalities in terms of behavior and documentation. All right, we talked about that one as well. You gotta have good behavior, you gotta observe the corporate formalities. Learn the corporate formalities and abide by it, because you're in a corporate setting. So learn the proper behavior and the good conduct. And we also talked about documentation. Documentation. Keep all your documentation to prove that you are doing the right conduct and the right behavior. And it says also intermingling of assets of the corporation and of the shareholders. We talked about intermingling of assets. It goes back to that concept with the Cars LLC versus the Automobile LLC, and it also goes back to intermingling your assets, where we talked about if you're the shareholder of a corporation and you're just spending the money or using the assets for personal purposes, pretty much. Also, it says manipulation of assets or liabilities to concentrate the assets or liabilities. Non-function corporate officers and or directors. Significant undercapitalization of the business entity. Capitalization requirements vary based on industry, location, and specific company circumstances. Right? Siphoning of corporate funds by the dominant shareholder. Let me see what siphoning is. And that's S-I-P-H-O-N-I-N-G. And siphoning, a tube used to convey liquid upwards from a reservoir and then down to a lower level of its own accord. Once the liquid has been forced into the tube, typically by suction or immersion, flow continuous unaided, draw off or convey liquid by means of siphon. Okay. So the shareholders shouldn't be doing any siphoning. Treatment by an individual says treatment by an individual of the assets of corporation as his or her own. Okay, we got that one. That's that's kind of like repetitive, not rhetorical, repetitive, because they said that already. Was the corporation being used as a 5K for dominant shareholders' personal dealings, alter ego theory? Okay, we got that one too. It is important to note that not all of these factors need to be met in order for the court to pierce the corporate veil. Further, some courts might find that one factor is so compelling in a particular case that it will find the shareholders personally liable. For example, many large corporations do not pay dividends. Without any suggestion of corporate improprietary, but particularly for a small or close corporation, the failure to pay dividends may suggest financial impropriety just means like wrongdoing. And they got some court cases here on some case law. Berkey versus Third Avenue Railway, 244 New York 602-155 NE-914 1927. Benjamin Cardozo decided there was no right to pierce the veil for a personal injury victim. Another case, Perpetual Real Estate Services Incorporation versus Michelson Properties Incorporation, 974 F.2D 545 Fourth Circuit, 1992. The Fourth Circuit held that no piercing could take place merely to prevent unfairness or injustice, where a corporation in real estate building partnership could not pay its share of a lawsuit bill. And another court case, Fletcher versus Atex Incorporation, 68F.3D 1451, Second Circuit, 1995, finding insufficient that a parent company so dominated the operation of a subsidiary that the corporate veil should be disregarded. Another court case, we're going through these court cases because these are some helpful tools you can use if you read these court cases. Minton versus Cavani, 56 Cal. 2D 576, 1961. Mr. Minton's daughter drowned in the public swimming pool owned by Mr. Cavani. Then Associate Justice Roger J. Traynor, later Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of California, held the equitable owners of a corporation, for example, are personally liable when they provide inadequate capitalization and actively participate in the conduct of corporate affairs. So, let's see this other one. All right, this is the last court case. Kenny Shu Corp versus Poland, 1939, F2D 209, 4th Circuit, 1991. The veil was pierced where its enforcement would not have matched the purpose of limited liability. Here, a corporation was undercapitalized and was only used to shield a shareholder's other company from debt. And we're going to read these two last paragraphs, which is dealing with the Internal Revenue Service and reverse piercing, and we should be done with the show. In recent years, the Internal Revenue Service in the United States has made use of corporate veil piercing arguments and logic as a means of recapturing income, estate, or gift tax revenue, particularly from business entities created primarily primarily for estate planning purposes. A number of U.S. tax court cases involving family limited partnerships illustrate the IRS use of veil pairsing arguments. Since owners of U.S. business entities created for asset protection and estate purposes often fail to maintain proper corporate compliance, the IRS has achieved multiple high-profile court victories. Yeah, we can go into that a little later. Just do your research on that one. I don't go too much into that. It says reverse pairsing. Reverse veil pairsing is when the debt of a shareholder is imputed onto the corporation. Throughout the United States, the general rule is that reverse veil pairsing is not allowed. However, the California Court of Appeals has allowed reverse veil pairsing against a limited liability company based largely on the difference in remedies available to creditors when it comes to attaching assets of a debtor's LLC as compared to attaching assets of a corporation. And also says, see also U.S. corporate law, U.K. company law. You can go into those. Yeah, but that was pretty much it for today's show. And I feel like it was a real good show, you know, talking about peers in the corporate veil and how to avoid it. And I feel like, honestly, it could be avoided just based on this show. Like once you know about this, the things that actually can cause the corporate veil to be pierced, you kind of understand and you kind of get it. Like, okay, that makes sense why it would get pierced. Which is if you're doing misconduct, you know, you're not following corporate formalities, and you got to know what corporate formalities actually is, and doing deductions, you know, and on business expenses only and not on personal expenses, right? We want to make sure that we're not intermingling, right? You don't want to take a deduction, for instance, which deduction is out there? Okay, so they got this deduction for meals on businesses, right? So you can take 100% deduction on meals currently right now, on business purposes, right? If you're having a business meeting with a potential client with a potential business partner or a business partner. In essence, so you could take that, but it has to be for business purposes. And like, don't try to fake the funk. You know what I'm saying? If you're doing commerce, do commerce. You know what I'm saying? You could get the deduct for it, but make sure you talk about the business. Don't just be like, I'm doing this for deduction. You know what I'm saying? Don't just say that. I'm doing this for. I'm creating a business just for estate planning. Don't just say you're just creating a business just to protect my assets. Like, don't just. That's not a formal way of doing business. You want to do business to help the economy. At the same time, simultaneously, you do want asset protection, and simultaneously, you do want to have a good estate planning, you know. But first, a business is for a business. A business is a business for a business. You know what I'm saying? So let's keep it all business, man. Keep it separated from the personal aspect of everything. And yo, you should be good. But that was the end of the show for the Love of Commerce on Financial Fridays. love talking to you guys every day. Well, every time we do link up on For the Love of Commerce. And we should be linking it up for Knowledgeable Sundays. And we'll see you when that show hits. So catch us live on Sunday. Peace to the gods.